your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
Yeah, I don't have it on yet. All right, that's welcome to Lacrosse Talk PM. I'm Rick Sola, 608-785-7914. I say that always way too fast, but also the guy just said it to start the show. If you go on a text in, but Monica Cruz is in studio with me. She is the La Crosse County Board Chair. You represent District 15. So if this didn't change from the last time we talked, maybe it did. You have Town of Onalaska, City of Onalaska. Is that it?
That is it. Okay. It did not change from last time.
All right. And you've been doing this since 2009. Right. You've been on the county board.
Yep.
Is this your second term as board chair?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that was, I knew it. I didn't
good
even write
remembering.
It down. So she's sitting in here with in studio with me. You guys had your monthly meeting last Thursday, right? I believe.
Yep.
There's part of me wants to do preview the meeting so that people can understand what is coming up. And part of me also wants to do a post view of the meeting so people know what happened. But when I do this with city council, when the city council has their monthly meeting, by the time it gets to council, Monica, it's over. Like they've kind of decided on everything, and the public comment thing isn't really a thing for a city council meeting, as weird as that sounds. But it always takes place in committees the week before and the whole month before, because there's committees all the time. But there's two big committees right before the monthly city council meeting in La Crosse. Is that the same? Would you say it's similar with the county board? And there's a, and how many committee meetings do you think you would have where people need to go to the committee meetings to express their opinions on things that the county board is doing, and then at the monthly meeting, you've kind of already figured it out.
So similar to the city, we have five standing committees, and all our business basically goes through those committees.
Well, so, I think the city has like 42, but
yeah,
you're at five.
We have five.
Manageable.
We have five. Plus, we have an executive committee, which kind of pulls all those committees in, and the chairs of the standing committees make up the executive committee.
Yeah.
So all our business basically goes through those standing committees and is decided, and then it comes to the full county board and then gets discussed some more, and that's where the final decisions get made then.
All right, executive committee is obviously, is that the good place for people to public comment, or would you say it's the other five?
Probably more the standing committees, because they're more specific. They're very specific. People can come in and talk about specific issues that they care about within that committee's purview.
And the La Crosse City Council has the week before is the F and P, the Finance and Personnel, and then the J and A, the Judiciary and Administration Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big ones. Does La Crosse County have a big one or two big ones?
It would be Executive Committee, and
okay,
it's kind of like the F and A at the city.
Okay, so yeah. But the Executive Committee, like you just said, isn't the one where it's almost a done deal at that point, too. You're just kind of organizing.
Well, we kind of like take what we get from the standing committees and refine it and put it in resolution form so that we can then bring it to the full board.
And that meeting happens the Tuesday. Is it the Monday or the Tuesday
it's
before?
It's on a Wednesday. Wednesday morning.
The week prior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would call that maybe the cram session, right? Like you have a big test next week. I'm going to cram on that Wednesday the week before.
Exactly.
It would be funny if you did it the night before. We just cram Wednesday morning and for the test tomorrow for this.
No.
Well, how much time would you say, because there's 30 county board members. We moved up one because of the census.
Redistricting.
And how much time would you say a county board member puts in a month on just, you know, I'm sure it varies based on every month, but do you have like, man, I spend about 4 hours a week or an hour a week or any idea?
I would say at a minimum, a county board member probably has to spend about 10 hours a month.
10 hours a month? Okay.
I would say so. Yeah, that's with county board meeting, standing committee meeting, reviewing agendas and things like that. So I would say minimum about 10 hours. But,
and then you have those meetings that end up being 3 hours long that Brad Williams is covering, and he's like, geez, are you guys done yet?
Yeah.
I got to get to bed because I got to do the news in the morning. Yeah, 10 hours minimum, because in most of that time, what I would say would be like reviewing whatever's on these agendas and then maybe going to whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, we're looking at a property for something. You'd have to go check it out.
Right. So. But when I say a minimum, we have many county board supervisors who are really into it. I mean, they will go to lots of other meetings that are related to their committee or just related to something that they're interested in. So they might go to 5 meetings a month that aren't necessarily connected to the committee that they necessarily have to be at. And so you can spend probably 40 hours and 50 hours, you know, if you're interested and if that's the sort of thing that you get excited about. So.
Oh, and then you other county board members see him or her at these meetings. You just roll your eyes. Oh, look at them.
There they
doing
are
doing extra credit. You're not getting an A in this class. There's no grades. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome when you see, I think so anyway. I that's a burden, I would say, on a county board member because you know, a lot of people have other stuff going on, but you get paid for this a little bit, and but do you think the pay is? I mean, there's a civic duty here involved, but is the pay like is substantial enough where you're like, yeah, it's worth my time?
No, I would say people do not run for county board because they want to get rich.
Because of the big paycheck.
No, I mean it's nice to get some compensation for what you do, but I think people run for county board for the glory.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Your time
but
is
just
worth
wanting to be like a good citizen and, doing their civic duty.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's time is worth something, so there should be compensation for all of that. All right, we got to take a break. 608-785-7914. When we come back with Monica Cruz, the La Crosse County Board Chair, I got a whole bunch of stuff on the list. We got general things that either are or aren't county related. I even want to ask you about the school referendum, but the state is also talking about a special session for the woman's right to choose, a law we have in the books from 1849. Monica, I might want to get her opinion on that. But we also have county board stuff. You're finalizing the budget. Your administrator has recently retired, Steve O'Malley, so we're trying to replace him. We have ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act, or Biden Bucks funding. I like to call it Biden Bucks, on a whole bunch of issues. And then you did say you wanted to talk about fixing the damn roads! Exclamation point. So we can always bring that up as well.
That was a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Williams got to do the news. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. The show off the air, often better than the show on the air sometimes. Monica Cruz sitting in here with me. She's the La Crosse County Board Chair. She's been doing that. This is her second term doing that. You guys run 4-year terms, right?
Two-year terms.
Is it 2-year terms?
Yeah.
No, the chair, you have to run for a re-election every 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I guess I didn't.
Yes, yes.
Are you sure?
I'm totally sure.
Because
I know I'm knocking on doors every 2 years. I am very sure.
Because we only half the county board was re-elected last time.
Nope. We do it the whole county board every time.
What am I thinking? Yeah. Oh, maybe
the
city council is 4 years.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that long enough, 2 years?
It seems. I think it should be longer. I think, the fact that you have to campaign every 2 years is
because
onerous.
Yeah, if it was like staggered, like the council, I like the council's way of doing it because it's half the council and then the other half stays.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you have a base of, and I get it, incumbents will stay on the board. It's not like you go 30 new members every year. I would like to have a little bit of stability there.
Continuity.
Where you cut it. Even if it was like, well, now 3 years would be an odd number. That wouldn't work. 10-year terms. How about that? No.
I'll go for 4.
4 years. 6. I mean, is that something you guys could do, or is this a state thing where only county board members can only above your pay grade at this point?
I think every county is that way. So I'm guessing it is.
Maybe it's
state
a state
statute.
Sanctioned, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about replacing Steve O'Malley? Like, Steve O'Malley's been the county administrator. He's had him on my show a couple of times. He's a smart guy. Really enjoy talking to him. He's going to be hard to replace, huh?
He will be very hard to replace. I mean, I think La Crosse County was very lucky to have him for 18 years. Very smart, very astute when it comes to finances, all of that. We will definitely miss him. We are in the process now of finding someone to replace him. We have an interim county administrator, Jane Kleekamp, who has been with us for a long time, who worked with Steve O'Malley for a number of years as the number two in command. And she's doing a great job, right now in the interim. And we are casting the nets for candidates to interview and to go through that process of choosing a new administrator. We've had 48 people applying for this job, so there's great interest. About 20% of them meet criteria for what we're looking for in an administrator, and now comes that really hard part of, you know, vetting them and weeding them out and, you know, bringing it down to a manageable number to actually interview and then choose.
Is it really easy? Can you break down the criteria, or is that just too much in the weeds? Where, you know what, to be a county administrator, do you need a master's degree? Do you need, I don't know, is there an easy way to define the criteria?
Well, there's some of that. There is definitely, like, you know, the educational component. There is the experience component. We want someone who's done this before, not some newbie. We want somebody who definitely demonstrates leadership. And so, you know, we can kind of break it down in big pieces, but when it comes right down to it, there's a lot of different components that make up a good administrator, and we have a long list of things that we're looking for.
So you have about 10, 11 people that you think are hit the criteria,
because
you said you had 48 and 20%.
About 10 people. Yeah. I should say, though, that the process is not done. I mean, if we still get, you know, candidates that demonstrate, you know, great potential. We would still.
How long are you doing that?
I would say probably not that much longer. Maybe in a couple more weeks. So
okay, and then do you have a timeline? You know, we want to start doing interviews at this time. We want to have a new administrator by this date.
We kind of like to have a new administrator by the end of the year. Okay. So yeah, we want to, you know, get that process going as far as interviewing and, you know, meeting people face to face. So
okay, so
and November, then, December,
a couple of weeks, you said, deadline for people.
I think,
but
so, yeah,
after that deadline, what if, like, Barack Obama sends his application in? No, I'm just kidding.
Like I said, we don't have a hard deadline. I mean, we definitely want the, you know, at some point we have to say, this is it. You know, we're ready
to
do
the process.
We're ready to do the interviews, right?
Because I think if Barack Obama, you know, said he wanted to be the county administrator, you'd be like, you know, we probably should bring him in for an interview at least. We'll just see what he's about. All right, so there's that. 608-785-7914 if you want to text in. Monica Cruz is in here with me. I'm trying to think about, we have about 7 minutes here, so I'll just do the most recent thing that was on, like, the county board's agenda last week, and that was the, what I think we maybe misinterpreted, or maybe you changed it within the county board. The $90,000 from our initial interpretation was the county board's going to, is it an ARPA? Is that also ARPA money?
Coming out of ARPA funds.
Okay. So there's a lot of ARPA talk we're going to do, American Rescue Plan Act talk, but $90,000 was going to go to 10 different festivals within the county, stuff like Riverfest, Oktoberfest. They don't all call, they're not all blank quote unquote fests, but those are the two big ones I could think of. And our interpretation was, like, you're just going to give Oktoberfest 10 grand because it was nine groups for 90,000. I didn't really understand it. I was like, that seems weird, but can you explain what we're doing now?
Yeah. So, one of our county board supervisors really wanted to help out smaller, festivals around the area that had, you know, experienced a lot of loss in revenue because of COVID. You know, they weren't able to have the festivals, they weren't able to do what they normally do, and he felt that those festivals were important to their local economies because they put all the money that they make at the festival back into worthy causes. So he brought this forward, wanted to give money to these specific nine festivals, $10,000 each. Well, we, as we were looking into this, figured out that we can't really do that. ARPA doesn't allow you to specifically allot money to, like, a festival.
Yeah.
But you can allot, like, a pot of money and then have people apply for that pot of money. So that's, we had to then retool our resolution to do that. So we allocated $90,000. People can apply for it. They have to, you know, fill out an application, tell us how they lost money, tell us what they're going to use the money for. They can be, I think it's only nonprofits. It started out being for-profit and nonprofit, and I think we changed it to nonprofit only.
So like a, one of those festivals would be like, yeah, we're going to use this money for 50 kegs of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And you'd be like, oh, well, we'll see. We'll take that into consideration.
Yeah, we don't actually have the list of criteria yet that we're going to use to give this money away. So the executive committee will be working on that to set up a list of criteria to have people get that money.
Well, as you're talking about this, I was just thinking, okay, as we go through a pandemic, I had Shelley Fortner on once a week, every Friday, as we did what we called Food Drive Friday. If you remember this, we we stopped at like the, there was drop-offs for food, for the food shelf, for the food pan. No,
wafer.
The food shelf.
Wafer.
No, not wafer.
Not
the,
wafer.
The Shelley Fortner is, I'm going to think of it in a minute. But anyway, the food bank here in the Cross. I'll think of it in a second. But, did we set aside ARPA money for stuff like that? For stuff like, you know, like maybe maybe we need to do some propositions for the ones that are directly helping those in need.
And, you know, there's other money set aside that organizations can tap into for things like that.
Yeah.
So, but not specifically for that. We didn't. I mean, we worked in much larger pots.
Yeah, the Hunger Task Force.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Oh, that's the one. Yes, yes, yes.
Just totally blanked on that. That never happens to me. All right. So I got that one out of the way. Let me see here. A couple more minutes. The other, well, you know, like with the ARPA money, 22 million, we got 22 million.
About 23.
And you have to have, do you have to have that money gone, like out of the county coffers? Or do you have to have a plan for giving it away by, like, what is it, 2024?
It has to be allocated by the end of 24, and it has to be spent by the end of 26.
Oh, okay. So. Now, the mayor in La Crosse, Mitch Reynolds, you know, said, like, that timeline's down the road, but also, like, it's gone before you know it. Do you guys have the same, like, we need to get moving on this so that it's figured out? Or do you have this more, like, we're going to sit back and kind of think about this a little bit longer?
Well, we are at that point now. We started out feeling like this great urgency. We got to do something with this money. We got to allocate it. We got to, you know.
Because there was a plan, I think, to allocate all of it, right? Like you had
and,
it all
and
set
we kind up. Of did. We did, you know, allocate all the money to 8 different, you know, causes.
Yeah.
But since then, some of those have become very problematic. I mean, it's been very difficult, really, to, you know, to figure out how to do it fairly and judiciously. And so now, you know, with some of those, we're now saying, you know, we don't have to have this done in a month or two. We have some time to look into it, like childcare, for example.
Yeah.
That proved to be very contentious. And so we decided, you know, we decided we couldn't really come to any kind of agreement amongst us. So now we've handed that off to somebody else to look into and come up with some proposals, come up with some ideas that we can then look at more dispassionately rather than everybody sort of, you know, protecting their own little idea that they thought would be a great way to spend that money. And so we're hoping that with a little more distance and somebody more neutral to manage it, we're going to come up with something that'll really work.
Because it's a weird dichotomy, because you have, we're the pandemic, it hurt all these different institutions. The feds gave us $22 million to help the institutions that from the pandemic, but you have till 2026 to get rid of the money, so to speak. That's a terrible way to put it. But 2026 is a long ways from 2020. And if these groups are hurting from the thing that happened in 2020, well, then the sense of urgency should be there to, that's probably your first thought process. And then maybe did that urgency go away because those groups are managing and we can think about this a little bit more?
I think that has happened. Yeah, I think that's happened across the board with that COVID urgency. I mean, people have managed. People have, you know, figured out ways to get around it. We're not in that deep dark hole that we were, where restaurants were closed and stores were closed and people had to be bunkered up at home. Mm-hmm. So I think that urgency has gone away a little bit. For example, we're going to use some of our money to put solar on the roofs of all the county buildings. And you can't do that, you know, within a couple of months. It takes a while. And, you know, everybody else is putting solar on their buildings, so there's probably a long wait to get solar panels and to get people to come in and do that. So yeah, you have to, you know, you have to be a little more patient and take a little bit more of a long view rather than wanting to get it done right now.
And then it'll be 2024. You'll be like, oh bleep, we didn't give out all the money. We better come up with a plan. But you already have the plan. All right, that's Monica Cruz. She's the La Crosse County Board Chair. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Monica Cruz is the La Crosse County Board Chair. She's sitting in studio here with me. Monica, I keep forgetting I'm going to get my camera. It's always awkward to do an interview. I need to get a picture of you sitting here so I can have it.
So I can prove it.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I appreciate you coming in here and spending the time with us. Let's see, what were we talking about? We were talking about ARPA. We kind of got into a little bit of the ARPA funding, American Rescue Plan Act funding, Biden bucks. I always make the joke, it's Biden bucks, but specifically, you guys had a plan, but you know, some of these things with the $22 million the feds gave the county, are some of these things in motion? Are you talk about the solar panels on buildings? We're doing that. Are any other things that are like, this is happening?
Yes, there's a bunch of stuff going. I mean, we have a lot of stuff going on. As I told you early on, we decided on 8 categories of spending. County Board was involved in, you know, setting these priorities. And of those, quite a number of them are already going on. One of them is the neighborhood revitalization demolition grant, where we've allocated money for people to take down dilapidated, lighting buildings and replace them with new buildings. We are taking care of the disposal of the old construction materials. This grant pays for that, so it helps homeowners who want to, you know, build a new place but maybe are strapped for cash. So this is a really popular program that started out in La Crosse some years ago, and now we've made it go countywide. Yeah. So that, you know, people in the outlying communities can use that money too, and there's been huge interest in it. So that's one thing that's already going.
There's some stipulations there too, right? There's an application process. If I send you like my dog's doghouse, give me some money for that, it's probably not going to happen. But like an old barn, or does it have to be a house?
We're looking at blighted neighborhoods,
okay,
because we want to improve our neighborhoods. Okay? Make them more livable, make them more attractive. You know, have people come in and want to live here.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're looking at: getting rid of, you know, crummy old houses that, you know, kind of junk up the neighborhood.
All right.
So then that's going. Also, Hillview, you know, we are retooling Hillview, and we have allocated the money. We've got, you know, the design team is working on that.
Hillview is like a senior
facility? It's like the nursing
facility.
Home.
Yeah, okay.
The nursing home. So what we're doing is we're adding a 48-bed community-based residential facility for people with Alzheimer's, people with dementia, you know, kind of those more hard-to-serve people. That currently we don't really have the facilities to take care of. And so that's being added out at Hillview, and that's going.
That's in motion.
Right. The solar, we voted on. We're going to vote on it again. And before too long, that should be going, mm-hmm. As soon as we can, get
materials. Have guys out there in the middle of December on roofs, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I would love it.
I feel like that would be dangerous, Monica.
Yeah, I know.
It's winter.
But, you know, I'm excited to get that going. I'm really, you know, like a proponent of that, so I'm really glad that we're doing that.
Okay, there's two things that I'm kind of curious about. We last time you were on with me, we talked about the La Crosse School District and the La Crosse County kind of combining efforts to create a child care, not a facility, but we're going to use some of the school space for childcare. And I think like half of that, the school district employees would get to use, and the other half would be like low income families.
Correct.
Had to scrap that plan. And now what's the new, where are we at with a new plan?
Okay. So childcare turned out to be rather contentious and very controversial, and lots of, disagreement on how we wanted to spend that money. Some people really...
When you say that, you mean within the board or
board.
Public comments?
I mean the
okay.
board. I yep. mean the board. And I think the board, because there was community disagreement on how it should be
sure.
spent, and county board members heard that. And so, you know, that caused then all kinds of dissension on the board.
But that's why we have a county board.
Exactly.
Say dissension, but that's yeah. how government works right
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Okay. And we discussed this at great length. We had proponents that really liked that neighborhood model with the schools. We had people who said, no, never, don't do that. We don't need to give schools money. They have plenty of money. Give it to the child care providers
yeah.
in the city.
And I think childcare providers were like, no, don't give that school the money, give us the money.
Yes, so. Childcare providers came in mass many times and, you know, wanted us to hear them. And so it became so contentious that it was like, how are we ever going to solve this? So what we've decided to do is take a step back, and we have chosen a third party who is going to be working on this and bringing us, you know, ideas, bringing us data, bringing us whatever it takes so we can start, you know, making a more informed, less emotional decision about this. And that's going to happen in December, I think.
Well, that's part of what we were talking about before, the, you know, urgency of helping people that need childcare, because, you know, at one point we didn't have kids in school. They're all at home. So like, I got to go to work. My kids, homeschooling. Mm-hmm. But that's ended now. So the urgency kind of, you know, gets scaled back. But also, you know, there's so many, like, you could deep dive into something like that really quite a bit. If you want to just give money to childcare providers, well, which ones? And then are those childcare providers local? Are they big business that's, you know, from outside in? How much do they pay their literal workers? You know, are they mm-hmm. paying them $7.25 an hour? Are they paying them a fair wage?
Right.
You know, like you could nitpick it up at this stuff. It's very complicated if you want it to be.
It's extremely complicated, more complicated than any of us ever thought.
Don't point your finger at me. No, I'm just kidding.
The issue is, yeah, we have a workforce shortage. You know, we don't have enough people who want to be childcare workers. And so I can sympathize with the people who run childcare facilities, that they're having issues with getting enough people in to do the work. And I think that's, you know, one big bone of contention is they don't want the schools drawing those people off because they're afraid the schools can pay them more than they can.
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing too.
It's like, well, if they can pay them more, then it gets to be too expensive for somebody to send their kid to childcare, and then you don't have kids in the childcare facilities. So.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of this balancing act of being able to pay your workers, being able to afford the childcare, and also, you know, we're a capitalistic society, so we got to make money off the top of that, off the childcare.
And the most important thing, and I'm going to say that real quick, to be sustainable about it. You want it not just like give them a chunk of money and they're happy for a while and then they're back in the same boat. We want this to be a solution that carries forward and that's sustainable and, you know, is something good for our area for years to come.
Yeah, if you're going to distribute ARPA money, that can't be a one-time thing because whenever that mm-hmm. runs out, that model has to create something sustainable. It's a great point. The other one, okay, so we'll go do a little bit of history. La Crosse County and the City of La Crosse, another partnership here I would say you're still working on this, but you wanted to buy the Chamber of Commerce building, but somebody came in and threw down, what was it, $2.1 million in cash and said, no, you're not doing the childcare facility here or homeless facility, bridge housing facility here. I'm buying this building, cash offer. The city or the Chamber of Commerce took it because why wouldn't they take a cash offer? And then so that kind of fizzled out. I guess where is the county board with helping the homeless community?
Well, we're certainly still very much interested in getting something going and getting it going soon. We have been working with the city. We have ongoing meetings with them. They are now in the process of buying a building, as I understand it. And so they're going to do like the more short-term thing of, you know, getting people housed over the winter. We're looking at things more long-term, finding bridge housing for individuals and families who are homeless and getting them into permanent housing, but creating that bridge housing to, you know, give them the services they need to transition into permanent housing. So that's our focus, and that's what, you know, what we're looking at. So.
Is that something that's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years because you're going to want to build a facility or acquire a facility and then all the infrastructure behind that. So.
Exactly. So it's not something that we're going to do this fall anymore, obviously. And it might even take longer than next year. But it's something that we're hoping will improve the situation greatly, over the years to come. So we're sort of positioned for the future. The city is doing more of the immediate stuff, you know, to get people housed over the winter.
And when we talked earlier, there must be a committee dedicated to this. This issue would be dedicated to that committee. And I don't know if you're on it, but I'm just brainstorming here. La Crosse School District wants to build a new high school. They have too many buildings. So they're going to, if the referendum passes, they would this would be a five-year project. They would move out of some of those buildings. Well, now we would have some school buildings.
Yeah.
Could we build bridge housing there? I don't know. It's just like, have we talked about that in the committee meeting?
I'm telling you, we have talked about just about everything about 10 times over. Yes.
How many shopcos are out there that we could, you know, it would take millions of dollars to convert some of this stuff.
It really would.
Some of that's not feasible.
There's a lot of, like, you know, simple solutions that aren't really feasible and aren't really all that simple. Like, you know, the shopcos always come up, or the empty stores, you know, well, why don't we just put them in there?
Build a bunch of mini houses on the empty property over
that's
here.
That's another one that we hear a lot about. Yep.
All right. 608-785-7914. Somebody texted in and they were curious because they drive through Vernon County and then get into La Crosse County on a certain road, by Coon Valley. They hit that road, and once they hit the county line, the Vernon County Road is great, and the La Crosse County Road, not so great. But I would say that I looked at the 2022 plan for La Crosse County, because you can just go Google this. You can Google the plan for fixing the roads. But how much of the county is dedicated to fixing the roads, so to speak?
How much of the county money, you mean?
Yeah, I guess, this is a priority all the time,
yes,
I would say.
Yes, so in our budget, you know, in our new budget, $7 million are dedicated to fixing the roads. And some time ago, 3 years ago, I think, we came up with a CIP plan where we were going to spend $5 million every year on roads, and we're going to borrow that money.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that for 3 years, and now with, the fact that the county is in really good shape financially, we decided we don't need to borrow that money this year. We can take it out of our fund. So we are taking that $5 million instead of borrowing it. We're taking it out of our fund, and we're adding $2 million to it. So $7 million towards fixing roads. Now, everybody knows that we have a lot of roads that are in pretty bad shape, and $7 million is not going to fix, you know, all the roads.
Yeah.
But it will definitely get us, it'll move us ahead. And if we do $7 million more next year, and if we do $7 million more after that, we're going to start getting, caught up on those roads.
And then by the time we get caught up, we start over with the first $7 million, because the roads.
Roads deteriorate, exactly. And unfortunately, over the last couple of decades, the roads have really been neglected.
Yeah.
I mean, the state hasn't appropriated the money they should have. We didn't have the money. So, we've got some really bad roads. I definitely, empathize with that person who emailed in. You just have to drive around La Crosse to know that, the roads are not good.
Hope for snow and then take your snowmobile on the trails. No, I'm just kidding. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about that budget some with Monica Cruz. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. We're going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up with perhaps the most important issue. I almost forgot about it because I have this whole list of stuff, Monica. Monica Cruz in here. She's the La Crosse County Board Chair. You're finalizing the budget. $208 million a year, right? This is this year's budget,
right?
$208 million.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say $208 million, when the state says we have a $5 billion budget surplus and the state's not doing anything with it, I'm like, we're going to keep it until we get our governor, or don't get our governor, so to speak. The $208 million, does that fluctuate based on, similar to what the state has here?
It fluctuates based on what we need to spend money on. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, based on our needs and, on
But the kitty, the amount of money, could it be $500 million 1 year and $100 million? I mean, it's not going to fluctuate that much.
Okay,
but
so our general fund is the money that where we have the money sitting that we have.
Yeah.
Other money comes in on a regular basis from grants and state funding and federal funding, but our general fund is what we have. That's sort of our savings account.
Yeah.
And it's in good shape right now. It's in great shape. And as a county, we're in a really strong financial position right now. And that's based on, first of all, good fiscal management. I mean, we have a great financial team, and they find, money when money is available, and they find grants. We also had higher than expected sales taxes come in during the year, so that, adds to the savings account. And we had an increase in equalized value, so, new building coming up, so new taxes coming in. So those are kind of the three, biggies that have put us into this position. So our budget is $208 million. That is about almost $200,000 more than we had last time around. $20 million more than last time.
Yeah, I was going to say $200,000, not that much more, Monica.
Yeah. add a few zeros, right? And, you know, we were able to get our mill rate down from 3.2 to 2.9, which is really great. We don't have any new borrowing for the first time since 2003. We don't borrow for highways. We are actually raising the money we're going to spend for highways by $2 million. We had planned $5 million and are going to spend $7
million. I mean, all people want to know is my property tax is going up or down, Monica?
Down.
They're going down. At least down. When it comes to the county, yeah. Right? Because the property taxes are
right.
confusing.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's other things that, you know, factor in. But your county part of the property taxes are going down. And
how unprecedented is it that you are not borrowing? I mean, it's kind of funny to say, but for the first time since 2003.
That is pretty
I guess you've been at it for 12 years, so you've never experienced this.
And, I mean, you know, we've borrowed for really big projects. Like, for example, Lot C, when we were, you know, doing all the building and switching from one administrative building to where we are now. And, you know, there were big projects that we needed to borrow money for. Mm-hmm. But this time around, we're not borrowing money in this budget. So
we're not borrowing. Property taxes are going down. County employees are getting a 3% raise.
3%, yep.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else? Am I missing anything there?
Let's see.
Debt? Are we reducing? Are we also not borrowing, but also paying into some of the debt?
We are reducing our county debt by about 13% this year, which is also, it's been going down for the last 7 years. So every year we pay down a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like a sliding graph if you look at it.
Yep.
This year it's going to go down by 13%.
Okay, so, is that a big jump from maybe in the past?
13%? Yeah, it's more than we've reduced, you know, in recent years. But like I said, it's a really good, strong budget.
All right, give me the worst thing about the budget. I mean, is there bad news here? This is all good news. Is there anything like, you know what, the budget, this part of the budget, you don't have anything?
I can't think of anything right
okay.
now.
Okay, well, no. Somebody will tell me.
I'm sure you'll hear something.
All right, that's Monica Cruz. She's the La Crosse County Board Chair. Monica, thank you so much for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow, UW La Crosse Political Science Professor Dr. Anthony Chagosky. Thank you, everybody, for listening.